Hello, everyone. This is the third quarantine conversation that I've had during this thrilling quarantine of 2020. Thanks to COVID-19 for getting us all together, I guess, or separately together. Today, I'm speaking with activist, playwright, and artist, Soma Snake Oil. So Soma, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I like that intro. Thank you. And I love that you said that coronavirus is bringing us together. It's the first time I've heard someone say it like that. And, you know, it kind of is bringing us together in our little separate enclaves. So I'm Soma, and those things are all true. I am an artist and an activist and a writer, and I'm also a dominatrix, and I also facilitate meditation, and, you know, there's all sorts of things, all sorts of mischief that I'm up to, and also all sorts of mischief that I'm not up to currently because of, you know, what's going on right now, you know, with some changes for sure as well.
How has COVID-19 affected you from, let's say, and as an example, Wednesday? Wednesday was completely normal. You went to sleep and you woke up Thursday and everything had changed that you knew from the day before. How has that affected you?
Yeah, I love that it's the Wednesday and the Thursday, because that really was the defining moment, wasn't it? At least here in Los Angeles, that was when things really sort of changed. I actually did one last session. You know, I told you I'm a dominatrix, and I did one last session on Thursday night as we just started to go into the depths of the mayhem. And then that was my last real physical contact with another human being in that way. And, it was really quite interesting to, you know, that a BDSM session was the last time, you know, that was sort of like my goodbye to contact with other humans. And, you know, and since then, you know, my business has changed quite dramatically, you know, because I, you know, what I do is pretty much a full contact sport, you know, with BDSM. So, you know, I'm not
never heard to it referred as that, but sure.
I'm not seeing clients in person anymore, and I'm staying in my house. And when I do go outside, I actually only go outside about one time a week. And as you said, I'm an activist, and I'll take supplies that I've been gathering, you know, through the mail, and people will drop stuff, you know, like a no contact drop to me. And then we make these packages, and then I'll take them and drop them at a distance to, some friends that are still working in Skid Row, but that's the only time I'll leave the house at all. And then when I come back, I strip down all of my clothes at the door, get naked the minute I walk in the house, and I throw everything in the wash machine, and I take a shower, and, you know, clean off the doorknob, and, you know, like, it's this, you know, things have changed, you know, and it's really, you know, wipe down my phone and my keys, and, you know, there's like all these different things to make sure everything's clean. And, you know, I mean, some people might think that's pretty extreme, but quite careful.
Well, this would be a very good time to have OCD, because, you know, that seems to be part of that condition, is to always want to clean and have a little bit of organization.
I'm wondering if we're all going to come out of the other end of this with a little bit of OCD, you know? Like, what's the other side of this? You know, like, are we all going to be wanting to do all these extra things that we've picked up?
I always wash my hands quite a bit anyway, and I guess now I'm very conscious of it even more so. And I didn't really think about it too much before. Yeah. But I think that's something now that I just do.
Yeah.
What is the project, well, you're involved with the sidewalk project, or you started the sidewalk project with, was that something that you started on your own, or did you start that with other people?
I started it with other people, and, you know, we're really about community and collaboration. But yeah, I started it with two friends. One is Stacey D, and she's in this band called Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and they're just amazing, you know, this really powerful feminist band. And then another woman, Emily Nielsen, and she started this other group called Punk Rock and Paintbrushes, and you know, this amazing movement for people who are in the punk rock community. A lot of them are musicians, and then who are also artists. And you know, and we all had this really strong sense together that we wanted to do something, you know, to give back. And, you know, we all had personal reasons for why we wanted to do that. And coming together and collaborating has been really quite special. And now it's kind of a little movement. You know, we've got groups in multiple different cities, and, you know, we've worked in like 7 different places. I can't see you anymore, but I'm going to keep talking, I think.
Are
you
there? I'm still here. I'm still here.
So yeah, we worked in like 7 different cities, including in Malta, and, you know, like right in continuing to work even in the midst of this crisis. And we've had to, you know, really look at best practices and how we can, you know, work in a very conscious and careful and ethical way so that we're not potentially spreading the virus. And so we're like constantly checking ourselves and being very, very careful. But, you know, we've been continued to be supported by our community. You know, we don't have any grants or government money or anything. You know, it's like completely a grassroots organization. And so it's pretty exciting that, you know, we've been able to do COVID response, emergency response, really supported by a bunch of punk rockers and anarchists and artists and, you know, weirdos, which is, you know, I love that. You know, it's like a point of pride.
Well, absolutely. When did you start, and when did you start the sidewalk project, and what was the impetus to starting it?
We started in 2017 officially, maybe a little bit. I feel like that's the right timing. I'm not so great with timing, but I think it was 2017. And, you know, really it came out of it. So I was writing this musical for like 10 years ago. I started writing this musical with my ex-husband, and it's called Home Street Home. And, you know, writing about people squatting and living on the street, and, you know, like this from this perspective of sort of like overcoming your circumstances, and had the experience of being unhoused and, you know, being a former drug user and a sex worker and all of this, you know, sort of, you know, sort of coming from a place of caring from experience, if that makes sense, and really wanted to do more than just write, you know, wanted to engage personally. And so that was really the impetus for the sidewalk project, and, you know, like getting sober and wanting to give back, and then, you know, sort of wanting to create this sense of well-being. And, you know, we have all these ideas. We say happiness grows as it's shared, and, you know, this idea that, you know, that we have strength within our connection, which we've really seen a lot, you know, within this time of, you know, the coronavirus, where people are starting to build mutual aid communities and societies, you know, at a time of crisis, and how important it is for us to connect with each other.
What would you say would be the biggest misconception that you have to address in doing this kind of activism work? Like, not necessarily within the community, but people that are not within the community.
Yeah, stigma. I would say stigma. There's so much stigma and so much othering and looking down on people who are unhoused, people who are drug users, people who are sex workers. There's this sense of less than. And, you know, I really think of it in some ways as the American caste system, that, you know, that there's sort of a casting out and thinking of people who are unhoused, people who are drug users, people who are sex workers, as, you know, untouchables. And there's a deep marginalization, just even in the way that we talk, you know, our language, using words like, you know, homeless or junkie or poor or, you know, whatever it is, there's this deep social stigma that we see even at this time in, you know, the midst of a pandemic, where people are less than in society, so much so that, you know, the government stimulus package is inaccessible for sex workers. There's, you know, there's a statement within the government stimulus package that says that sex workers or anyone who has anything to do with the sex business can't access, for their small business, the stimulus package, which, you know, and then, you know, sort of, you know, whether it's people on the street who are unhoused, or, you know, what we just see, this deep marginalization that goes to the point, you know, Detroit, Michigan, where they're, you know, shutting off the water in places where there's poverty, you know, which is a death sentence in this time, you know. And there's just so many examples of this where people who have less or who are barely surviving are so heavily marginalized that it gets to the point of social cleansing. So, you know, I really see stigma as the biggest struggle, where we see certain people as less than, and so it's okay if they don't have enough, if they are cast out, or if they get sick and die. So that is, yeah, to me, that is the issue.
What were you planning to do with the rest of the year, starting, you know, what month is this now? This is April.
I don't know.
In March. I don't even know. It's just day. Doesn't matter what day it really is. It's just day. It's day. So today on day, last month, what were you planning on for the rest of the year, either with your activism with Sidewalk Project or doing another art show? Because I want to talk about your art after this, but yeah, what were your plans for the rest of this year?
I did have several art shows that were coming up, and we had a mental health festival that the organizers of Warped Tour were doing that was really pretty exciting. It was called the 320 Festival, and the Sidewalk Project was going to be featured at, you know, one of the groups that was going to be featured at this 320 festival. And there was going to be thousands of people there, and it was going to be so amazing. and, you know, I mean, there's just so many similar things like that. We had a mural that we were going to do downtown, and we always throw these great big parties. One of the things that we do with the Sidewalk Project is, you know, we're really into this idea of creating well-being through art and music. And that's part of a big part of our outreach. And we were in the process of trying to get our get approved by the state to be a mobile needle exchange, so that we could you know, do like a backpack needle exchange. You know, and our movement was going so good. I mean, I had some great art stuff coming up and a little bit of travel planned and, you know, fun stuff. Started dating someone new that got kiboshed by the virus. you know.
I feel sometimes that it doesn't even seem real to me. You know, like, I can't believe this is really happening to everything. Everything was just so great for a lot of people. They just, you know, personally or for other people in general, things were just on such a forward motion, and it really hit a brick wall in basically in a second. I'd heard about COVID-19 or coronavirus, I think, in December.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of in the news a little bit. Yeah, there's a virus over there in China somewhere that's, you know, killing some people. But it didn't really, that was it. You didn't really hear much about it. Then all of a sudden it was on the news every day. And that's now you can't even escape it.
It's true. It's sort of like a layer of pressure over top of everything. And we've changed our entire lives around this thing. Yeah.
And maybe the good thing about it is the animals are finally getting, you know, quote unquote, revenge on the humans for just not being very nice, you know, with clean water and the birds and the clean air and everything. I guess if there's a positive spin, that to me is somewhat positive.
Oh, that's huge, right? Like the Venice canals are clear and people can breathe in Rome and yeah, absolutely. It's sort of revenge of the pangolin.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. When did you start to work with art or with your, you mostly do painting or do you do mixed media?
I do mixed media, and I dumpster dive for materials, and, you know, so I work on all sorts of things. You know, it might be a palette, you know, like a wood palette, or a, you know, I've got this thing that's like, it's like the side of a billboard that's in my living room that I haven't painted on yet. You know, to, you know, like pieces of wood and glass, and, you know, it's just like whatever thing I can drag home. You know, and then I use a lot of resins and paints and all sorts of different materials. Because I really like lots of textures as well as colors. I think that's very interesting to me. So it's almost like a little bit of a sculpture aspect to what I do. And, you know, I mean, as far as when I started doing art, it was in my late teens, and then I put it down for a period of time. And then recently, probably in the past, I would say three-ish, four-ish years, I really picked it up with a lot of passion. And I would say kind of found my voice as an artist and decided to basically, I like thinking of it as opening my journal or spreading my legs, you know, on my canvas. You know, it's very intimate, it's very vulnerable. And, you know, with the idea of kind of making the personal political, and, you know, with the hope of connecting with others, you know, with shared experiences and shared stories.
So yeah, I first saw your work. I'm not sure if it was at the Punk Rock and Paintbrushes that was on Fairfax, or if it was downtown, and I don't know if that was a Punk Rock and Paintbrushes or if that was just a gallery show downtown. I remember Noodles from The Offspring was DJing at that one in particular. Mm. And I think you had these large pieces on, when you first walk in on the left, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
from the street. And then I saw it at the Punk Rock and Paintbrushes that was down by the Regent. Downtown LA. And it was very good. I really liked it a lot. What has been the response? I know that musicians or people connected to punk rock doing art is sort of a given because you live an artistic life in your own way. So what has the response been to your artwork?
You know, I've been really just I'm so overwhelmed by the beautiful response that I've gotten. And it's, you know, it's just so encouraging, you know, because when you make something, you don't know if it's, you don't know what it is, you know, it could be crap and maybe it is crap. And, you know, like, you know, like, what is this? You know, like, I don't know what this is. But you know, when you're able to connect with other people and see that they're having an emotional response, and you know, like for me, my art is cathartic. You know, I experience some catharsis by creating it. So when someone else experiences some kind of cathartic release by seeing it, that is just so exciting for me. You know, it's unbelievable, you know? So I have experienced a lot of that in, you know, people having, you know, sort of opening up and sharing about their own lives and, you know, sort of having some pretty big conversations, maybe telling stories that I probably wouldn't have heard otherwise from them. So that's just pretty exciting to me. I love that.
If you were a fan of someone for their music that maybe had spoke to you about your art, was there anyone that you really, that you were excited about that they were talking to you about your artwork, or someone that you've admired for their own career?
A musician that likes my art?
Musician, or, you know, someone of that, because I would figure that most people that would listen to this are, have a punk rock background, but you never know. But, you know, maybe there's someone like, I don't know.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, because of his band, or that I'm necessarily like a super uber fan or anything. You know, I do respect his, what he's contributed to punk rock and to music, but I'm not like an uber fan. But for me, I really appreciate, being appreciated by Warren Fitzgerald. That means a lot to me, from the Vandals. You know, he's a friend of mine, and I value his opinion a lot. Also as an artist, you know, because I respect his painting so much too. And there's what he's doing as an artist. I just get it, if that makes sense. And you know, when he tells me that he likes my paintings and, you know, and he takes the time to really engage with it and we have conversations, I feel good about that, because I respect him also, if that makes sense. And then we end up talking about something super weird, like, I don't know, quantum physics or unicorns or, you know, confetti.
Is there anyone that you would like to, that you've been in the show with, that you'd like to collaborate with on a piece or a series of pieces?
That I haven't collaborated with yet. Let me think. I feel like it's a tough question, because then I have to do it.
Well, you never know. This thing could go on for ages and it may never happen.
That's true. We're never going to see each other again. So right now we're just having hypothetical fantasy conversations. Right,
hypothetically.
I don't know. You stopped.
All right. Well, that good. I've given you a question that
I'll
at
have
this
to think
time
about it.
Tough to answer. What do you miss most about life pre-COVID-19? Like, did you have a favorite place that you like to get coffee, Or did you have a favorite place you'd like to get brunch or just go to do something that you really enjoy?
I mean, honestly, what I miss is working. I mean, I know you want something really cute about a coffee shop. Like, I mean,
well, work.
I miss beating people up. I miss giving spankings, you know?
So is the first client you see going to get weeks of aggressive built up spanking at this point?
I spank with love. So. But I don't know. I think it'll be pretty exciting. I'll want to do everything. You know, there'll be a cage. There'll be an enema. I'll hang someone from the ceiling. You know, it'll be all the things. Yeah.
What have you learned most about yourself since you haven't been able to really do anything? Are you cleaning a lot at the house? Are you reading a lot? Are you getting anything done that you've wanted to do that just you put off for a while?
Really what I've been doing a lot of is, so I told you I'm a meditator and I do meditation facilitation through my Buddhist community. And we've been doing online classes every day. You know, the different teachers have been doing classes every day. And because of this, I have ended up kind of teaching more frequently. And, you know, it's really interesting to take on this role of sharing and sort of offering spiritual guidance and meditation in the midst of a crisis. First of all, you really need to be able to find your own strength and stability. And what I found is that I really have been able to find that in a lot of, you know, sort of balance, personal balance, and then be able to speak from that place. So I guess what I've been finding is a lot of time to meditate, to read, to study and to share. So maybe kind of stepping up to the plate is what I've noticed. And I feel good about that because, you know, it's a little bit challenging, but I'm willing and hopefully that is helpful to someone.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the play that you wrote. Did it start as a story at first and then it turned into a play, or did you always start with the play? That was the goal, was to write a play.
Well, you know, so it was really my ex-husband. So Mike, it was his, vision, you know, first. And when we got together, you know, he was excited about it. He had some songs and he had, some story ideas. He'd written a monologue for one of the characters. And, you know, he was looking for a writer to work with, and he talked to several people. And, you know, initially I was just supportive of him in his idea. And then at some point he said, do you want to try out for this position? And so I had to write something to show that I could do it. You know, like, in fairness, you should have to do that, right? And then he ended up liking it. And then we started working together. And, you know, we had a lot of shared life experience, you know, some similar life experiences and worldview, and, you know, really kind of fell in love with this thing together at the same time as we were falling in love with each other. So, you know, this was a baby that we created together. You know, if you could say there was a child from our relationship, it was Home Street Home. And, you know, we bled over it and cried over it and fought over it. And, you know, we put a lot of effort into this thing. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question properly.
No, I think that's a good, you know, I like that answer. Good answer.
Yeah.
But was some of the experiences autobiographical for yourself, or were you writing from some of the experiences of people that you had worked with. You hadn't started the Sidewalk project at that point, correct?
No, Sidewalk came actually after Mike and I split. Home Street Home was from some of Mike's experiences, some of my experiences, and from friends, and then it's also fiction. So that's sort of how things get written, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And what is Dominatrix's Against Trump? That sounds it sounds very self-explanatory, but at the same time, it sounds great. So what is that?
Yeah, so I mean, it's sort of evolved over time, but it's an artist activist collective, and comprised of dominatrixes, and we do these sort of art disturbances that highlight the sort of inequality for sex workers and very much specifically BDSM, but all sex workers. Just sort of like, there's like a culture jamming aspect to it. And, we also just kind of pee on Trump and beat him up and spank him. And there's been strap-ons involved and, we peed on his star on Hollywood Boulevard. I think we were the first ones to do it before anyone else came, and someone took a jackhammer to it and all of that stuff. But, it's resistance art against, a cruel system. And specifically, we talk about Trump, but it's not just about Trump. We've done actions that have had some real effect, and we've pushed back against Sesta Fosta, and, we've fought for this one bill called SB 233, and that passed in California, and that gave some rights for workers, for sex workers. So you could think of it as an activist organization for sex workers, but with flair. Yeah.
Well, the name certainly has flair. Mm-hmm. I think the name is like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some hijinks involved.
Well, I would hope so, because, yeah. Even no matter what, the hijinks are always good. Mm-hmm. Hijinks are always good. Do you have anything, you've done a play, will you be doing another play, or are you focusing on the visual art at this point and the activism, but specifically speaking art-wise?
I don't really have time to do another play right now. We'll see what happens with the last one. I'll let you know. How about that?
that's good. Now, I didn't get to see it, but did that play in LA, or where did the Home Street Home play?
It's been put up all over the place. It's shown in San Francisco and New York and Cincinnati and different places, and it's in incubation again. I'm actually not currently working with the project any longer, but I very much wish them well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would like you to just, if you had any last words that you'd like to say about what you're doing, where people can find information about the groups that you're with or your artwork, feel free to do so at this time.
All right. Big plug at the end. Yeah, I mean, I like people to find me on Instagram, Soma Snake Oil, because that's where I spill my guts, inappropriate oversharing. And, somasnakeoil.com or goddesssoma.com. Those are some good places, I think. Against the Stream meditation, if you want to hear one of my meditations, but Soma Snake Oil on Instagram is a good start. And thank you for having me today.
Oh, absolutely. It was great. It was great. And I've enjoyed each of these that I've done. And I really, at some point, I would like to never do another one. But we're all here, separated, here. Together. We're all in the same sort of boat. We're all the great equalizer, I guess.
Yes.
Because everyone is home.
Yeah.
Everyone is home, or supposedly supposed to be home. Have you ever overshared anything that you were on Instagram? You're just like, why did I do that? Or have you not gotten to that yet?
Yeah, like all the time. Totally. I'm like continually embarrass myself, and then I know it's good. There's something about being willing to be super vulnerable and take that risk that, you know, then I think that we connect a little bit better. We connect a little bit deeper when we are willing to put it out there and embarrass ourselves a little bit. Quarantine, quarantine.